In Peter's first letter to the churches in what is now Turkey, he writes, "But now, as Christians, you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy." You must be holy, for God is holy. So I want you to take a breath. It needs to be a deep breath, and maybe a second one. And I want you to listen to the voice that is in your head as you hear that. Is the voice in your head judging you? How does that kind of command, you must be holy, for God is holy, how does that kind of command make you feel? Inadequate? Challenged? Motivated? Guilty? Ashamed? If somewhere in your past, and I think this applies to most everyone, if somewhere in your past you have had to earn your value, if you have had to earn acceptance, if you have had to learn love, whether at school, at work, at home, in groups, if you've had to pretend to conform to someone else's ideals and values in order to be accepted, I wonder if when you hear a command like, you must be holy, for God is holy, if that doesn't just regenerate those fears within you. Fears of being judged to be inadequate or being rejected. And when we have those kind of fears, we can get caught up in what might be described as defensive holiness. Stay away from that. Don't do this. Keep away from that kind of person. But in John's letter, he says, perfect love casts out fear. If there is holiness, it is to be holiness in the midst of perfect love, which casts out fear. And John says, for fear has to do with punishment. What God is commanding is not about punishment. It is about invitation to participate in his life. God's holiness is offensive holiness. That is, it moves out from him to take that which is as yet unholy and makes it holy. God's holiness brings life. John 10, Jesus has come that we might have life and have life to the fullness, not life lived in fear, not life lived under do's and don'ts, but life that is caught up in the life of God. God is life and light and warmth and love. It is impossible to have a holy God without that life and warmth and light and love in our lives. And if that is the case, then our holiness will be like that of God, and it will be going out from us rather than something that we have to kind of hold within ourselves. The very picture of God is a God of incarnation, a God who comes from glory and enters into our very experience. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son into the world. Holiness is not about withdrawing from the world and hiding in our corner and trying to stay pure. Holiness is about getting out there with God and his love and his light and his peace. Jesus is not afraid of sinners. God is not afraid of sinners. God is not afraid of people like you and me who are not the perfect people that somebody thinks that we ought to be. God loves us, and he draws us to himself. God's holy touch heals and restores and forgives. The voice of God speaks light and life into our lives. Even when he is challenging or correcting or guiding us, God's words are light and love. And if the voice in your head is not speaking words of light and love and healing and restoration to you, that voice is not God's voice. That is someone else's. Family member, a teacher, someone you worked with, someone else. Holiness, for many of us who grow up within the church, can be something that is cold and dark, something that we are afraid of getting, risking and getting dirty. But real holiness, God's holiness, is light and warmth within us. Don't tell me the do's and don'ts. Tell me what are the positive actions of God's love. And Jesus told us two basic, simple commands: love God and love your neighbor. And loving God is our holiness. Loving our neighbor is our holiness. Loving God is not something we do at a distance impersonally. I love God out there. We love God in relationship. And when we love God in relationship, we get caught up into his life, and his life becomes our vocation and also our means of living that. Our who becomes our what and our how. Because we live in a holy God, we as his holy people do what he does in the way that he calls us to. So what I want to suggest is that for all of us, our God-given destiny and purpose is to be conformed to the image of Jesus, the Son of God. And we do that by leaning into Jesus, by worshiping God in all his fullness, and then walking with God. Holiness is not something you have to become. It's someone you already are. The Apostle Paul routinely addressed his letters to the churches, and he called them the saints in Corinth, the saints in Rome, the saints in Thessalonica. Significantly, that term for saints is hagios, which means the holy ones. The churches, if you've read the letter to the Corinthians, if you've read Romans, if you've read any of the letters, you know that the people in those churches are no different from the people in our churches. And yet Paul calls them holy ones. And they are holy because holiness is a relational term. We are holy ones. We are holy people because we are related to the Holy One. In some ways, it's a bit like why we call the Holy Spirit the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. Therefore, he is the Holy Spirit. We are the people of God. Therefore, we are the holy people of God. We are enveloped within the life of the Holy God. We are engaged with the Holy God. And therefore, we participate in the holiness of God. One of the songs that we were singing said, "Holy is the name of Jesus." And I just want to kind of remind you that that's true. Holy is the name of Jesus, not Stephen is holy. I don't bring holiness into my relationship with God. I come into a relationship with God, and he is holy. And therefore, I'm caught up in the holiness of God. Holiness is not something that we bring to our relationship with God. Holiness is something that we receive from our relationship with God. So, at those times when we are not feeling holy, or those times when we are not acting holy, we are not meant to withdraw ourselves from God until we can get holy again enough to come back to him. That's the very opposite of what we're doing. It seems to assume that somehow that I can find holiness on my own. And then I bring it to God and contribute to his holiness. I think that might be a little unrealistic given the little bit of self-awareness that I have. That was too much. So when we fail, when we don't feel holy or we don't do holy, at that very moment is when we are meant to lean in to Jesus, that we are meant to remind ourselves that we are caught up into the very life of God. And it's being caught up in the life of God that restores holiness to us. We do not bring holiness to this relationship. We receive holiness from this relationship. So that means that when we are called to live holy, we are being called to enter into, further into a life with God. I want to suggest that that involves worship and walking. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, he says, "Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit." All of us, seeing the glory of God, are being transformed from one degree of glory to another. One of the reasons to be in church this morning is to be transformed from one degree of glory into another. In fact, we might just check on the way out that you are one degree more glorious than when you came in. It is not possible. It is not possible to stand unchanged in the presence of God. God is light and love and glory. And when we stand in the presence of God, we either move towards that and be transformed, or we pull away from that and find ourselves weakened. We are invited in worship to move towards the living God. We become what we love. We become what we worship. People who have been married way long time start to look like one another and act like, it's frightening, yes, and start to act like one another. Yeah, exactly. We become what we love, but it's also true we become what we worship in service and in song, in prayer, in reaching out into the community. We become what we love. But the danger always is that we will worship a reduced God. J.B. Phillips, way back in the good old days, wrote a book that was a hit all over the world. And I think it was because the title of the book was "Your God is Too Small." Your God is too small. And he talked about how we are inclined to put God into a box. But God is too big for our boxes. But too often, when we worship a God who is in a box that of our making. Instead of loving the fullness of God, we would rather love a domesticated God, a safe God, or a reduced God. And in the Bible, this is discussed in terms of idolatry. St. Clair of Assisi, who was one of the followers of Francis, have said, "We become what we love, and who we love shapes what we become. If we love things, we become a thing. If we love nothing, we become nothing. Imitation is not a literal mimicking of Christ. Rather, it means becoming the image of the beloved. an image disclosed through transformation. This means that we are to become vessels of God's compassionate love for others. If you are to be holy as God is holy, then you are to be filled vessels of God's compassionate love, because that is the God that we love. Our God loves the whole world, not just me and people like me or people who think like me and act like me. God loves the whole world. God gave himself to redeem, gave his life to redeem sinners. Not perfect people, good people, or white middle class, overeducated people. God gave himself to redeem all people. Our God is father to the orphaned, a protector to the vulnerable. Our God is found in the manger, not in the palace. It's something I was reading this week by Kate Bowler. Looked again at the golden calf incident in Exodus, when the Jews are on their way out of Egypt. They're in the wasteland, and Moses is up in the mountain of Sinai collecting the commandments, and they get tired of waiting, and they say to Aaron, make us a god that we can worship. And Kate points out that they're not asking Aaron to create an Egyptian god for them. They just want a picture of their god, Yahweh, one that they can use in their time and in their way. They want Yahweh to fit into their box. Of course, you'll remember that when Moses came down from the mountain, it didn't go well for them, because God doesn't like to be put into a box. When I grew up in the church, the selling point was that God loves me and has a wonderful plan for my life. It seems a little me-focused. What about if the plan is God loves the whole world and he has a wonderful plan of reconciliation and compassion, and he invites me to join with him in fulfilling that plan? That's a little bit more God-centered. Whose story is it? Yeah, it's my life? Well, no, it's God's world. My life belongs to him. It's God's story, not our story. A life of holiness is a life lived in and for God. It is true that we need to enter into that personal relationship with God. And we are encouraged to say, my God. But when we say my God, we're meant to say my God, not my God. God is not ours to use as we will, but he is God, and we are to live our lives for him. It is not so much the case, Chris Wright writes in his book, The Mission of God's People, it is not so much the case that God has a mission for his church in the world, as that God has a church for his mission in the world. It is not so much the case that God has a mission for his church, but that God has a church for his mission in the world. Mission was not made for the church. The church was made for mission, God's mission. Right back when Abraham is called at the beginning in Genesis 12, which will be the beginning of Israel and the people of God, God chooses him and says to him, the purpose of this choosing is so that all the world might be blessed. Every tongue and every tribe are blessed because of the calling of Abraham. And sometimes we forget that, and we feel that the blessing is for us. and mission or participation in what God is doing in the world is a nice extra. Maybe not quite what the vision was, where Jesus goes out and we stay in here and have an option. Do you want to stay here till next week? Next Sunday, and then we'll do it all over again? No, there's no option in this. We are to follow Jesus in the world. We belong to God. God does not belong to us, which means that we need to be where God is. This is my favorite picture of Jesus. It's Luke 15, of course, and so it's around a meal. Jesus is eating with sinners. You can tell they're sinners because they're happy. While the religious leaders, that's them, look on and grumble. It is so easy for us to think that holiness is about keeping apart from people, or holiness is something that we have to turn inward to produce and generate. And when we do that, we become afraid of people and situations. In America, lots of the church celebrate the courage. Now, this is a political comment, so take it as you will. Celebrate the courage of a baker who will not bake a wedding cake for two gays to marry. And it seems to me that the desire to somehow not get caught up in that has separated them from people that God loves. And it seems to me that when that happens, we are more interested in protecting our own holiness than we are in participating in God's love. Can you imagine Jesus not baking a cake for people? I think as we go through the Gospels, it is easier for us sometimes to be the Pharisees and religious leaders on the outside, looking at what Jesus is doing and thinking, oh no, he's not going to get out of this with his holiness intact. Or, oh no, he's not going to make a positive difference there, is going to be swamped by their unholiness. But we're actually invited to be the disciples and actually travel with Jesus and move into those situations with Jesus, even when we're not sure all that it will involve. As we worship the living God in his majesty and in his splendor, then as we walk with him, as we keep in step with the Spirit, we will find ourselves in places that we might never have thought that we would be. But those places are the places where we will be at our most holy, because we have been drawn into the life of God and invited to participate in his mission to the world. We are to be holy, but not in some kind of abstract sense of pulling away from the world. We are to be holy by walking with Jesus, by living with Jesus, by worshiping Jesus, who is the one who comes into our world. Instead of holiness being something that we're afraid of, something that makes us wonder if we're good enough, holiness should be something that invites us to lean in to Jesus, to worship God in all of his splendor, and then to walk with Jesus wherever he goes and wherever he takes us. Let's pray. Lord, we want to be holy. We want to live our life in you. We don't want to step back and try and make ourselves holy. We want to be holy by being in relationship with you. And we do that because we want to be close to the wonder and the splendor of who you are. Lord, take us into your life so that we might be your people, so that we might walk with you, and so we might be indeed holy in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his favor upon you and give you his shalom. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of his Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's shalom to love and serve the Lord through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.